Okay, I'm going to read another short item in this news, the Dooline newsletter presented as a newspaper. So this is on page 3, and there's a section, Knowledge Triumphs Over Space. When new speeds of data processing, do it again. When new speeds of data processing surround older, slower forms of organization, the older forms break down. So that's a darkened title. Then it says, there are no exceptions to this rule. The present breakdowns in education, in bureaucracy, in business, in government, and in international relationships result from speedier information movement, whether of telephone or TV, which bypass and collapse the former patterns of human organization. Peter F. Drucker's new book, The Age of Discontinuity, Harper and Row, 1968, is entirely concerned with this theme. He reports the changes in business, bureaucracy, and government that ensue from the speed-up of data processing to the electric level. Instantaneous information movement creates the multitude of gaps between generations, races, nations, which are really intense new interfaces of resonance. Peter Drucker does not pretend to understand the causes of the numerous changes he describes in business, economics, and politics. He is impressed in particular by the rise of the knowledge industries, which render experience useless in all planning of business or political enterprise today. The Apollo 8 project was not based on experience, but on knowledge. At high speeds of change, knowledge has to replace experience. But at high speeds of information movement, the body of knowledge also becomes the main factor in all forms of exchange, educational, commercial, or political. How's that one?
Ooh. That last
the same instantaneous knowledge. Information movement creates what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Instantaneous information movement creates that multitude of gaps in quotes, between generations, races, nations, which are really intense new interfaces of resonance. That's what the gaps are. Peter Drucker does not pretend. McLuhan used to say, complain that people didn't even pretend to understand what was going on. So McLuhan's pretending. Peter Drucker does not pretend to understand the causes of the numerous changes he describes in business, economics, and politics. He is impressed in particular by the rise of the knowledge industries, which render experience useless in all planning of business or political enterprise today. The Apollo 8 project was not based on experience, but on knowledge. At high speeds of change, knowledge has to replace experience. But at high speeds of information movement, the body of knowledge also becomes the main factor in all forms of exchange, educational, commercial, or political.
And that's describing your work with Coldplay right now. Is knowledge has to
right.
replace, you have no experience.
It describes interacting with ION. Your experience or point of view is largely useless when dealing with the new environment of ION.
Yeah. But Eliza pointed out that it is being incorporated, the last part of the sentence, that then it becomes, knowledge becomes the
ground. The information society is continuously generating new information or knowledge. So it's a self-fulfilling excitement.
Yeah. Okay, now the multitude of gaps. How would you relate that to the interval, tactility?
That is the interval.
That is
yeah.
it. We're naturally
the gap is an interval.
Gaps between nations and races.
You have the generation gap. You have the race war, and you have national borderline tensions. These are intervals.
So each generation kind of holds on to an image in those areas.
Yeah.
And the interface
right.
of the inner of those images between generations.
Yes, for example,
yeah.
that's one of the biggest problems now that there's so the globalization, so many people migrating and for example, there's a lot of Muslims coming to the West now, and it's very hard for different cultures to integrate because of this intensity of resonance. They're based
yes.
in the book, and that creates already this lack of synchronicity in the
lack of matching
in the communication matching. In yes.
And that there, knowledge is already obsolete. That's our new this new mystery landscape we're in. It's a new kind of knowledge. It's knowledge not as we define, as most people define it. Like
yeah, they don't want a cure for cancer because it would stop giving students and
yes.
new people entering the workforce a role. You're a nut if you come up with a cure because you don't understand. This society is based on endless, unfinished information exchange. Like he says, the main factor in all forms of exchange is the body of knowledge, the endlessly creating new data. And so if the society is dependent on that, then you don't want it to stop. So you don't come up with a cure for anything.
Yeah, academia.
You come
up
with improvements, little adjustments, little band-aids.
Otherwise, it can't be implemented into the system.
Right.
Now, that goes back to the beginning where McLuhan was saying new speeds, as new speeds come in, older forms break down. Would you use a different
yes.
term than break down? Now, Bob, breakdown doesn't. It seems like it's moving so fast it doesn't even have time to break down. It's just there for a moment and gone.
Yeah, I just say that there's no breaking down for the human anymore. The human's been obsolesced. And, you know, there are more and more humans coming to the planet because they've been obsolesced and there's no more roles for them.
Yeah. Driver's father's here.
They're not constitutive. They don't form the society anymore. They're just what Coker calls surplus flesh.
Yeah, it's at all levels, it's like the uterus is closed, there is no gov, and all these aspects, like, yes.
The great human archetypes have been junked. So yeah, you do have older forms break down, but that's older forms within the Android meme. Maybe the forms are just a few years ago. Endless breakdown, endless innovation, rapidity, living 200 years every 12 months. That's life in the Android meme for its parts.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking. Yeah, as you.
And I was thinking
about, we can't allow the cure to cancer because academia cannot change and implement new systems that quickly. So
yeah, and neither can industry.
Collapsing rather than breaking down. Yeah, there's no keeping up with it at this point.
Yeah, you obsolete. You actually have everybody take seriously. Okay, we got a cancer cure. All that billions of research, blah blah, that employs idiots and all that stuff would say, "Well, we don't need to do that anymore. What are we going to do?" And maybe after 10 years, a new disease would surface. Ian says there would be a new disease, and then you could reemploy everybody. But it's better not to have the interruption. It's just like they don't have a Watergate. They don't nail the president anymore. It just disrupts the system too much.
Yeah.
President can get away with anything.
Yeah, they just push everything under the rug.
Yes, under an Afghani rug.
But the actual definition of what a human is fallen man. I mean, that's why it's totally obsolete. Because from the cells to the blood to the fact that there is no, the uterus is closed and there is no gov and the human, the fallen man, can be no more.
Now, you're saying the dictionary defines the human as fallen man?
Yeah. Because the ascended is again, like a god. So human
right.
is the absolute format of this fallen man that thought he was only the physical, maybe the spirit, and who could only interact in this visual space.
Yeah. I just realized that McLuhan predicted something here. The title of what I just read you was called Knowledge Triumphs Over Space. He's predicting that NASA will run into the ground by the early 70s at some point. The turnover of knowledge and people exploring and experiencing discarnately through media, the information exchange, makes the NASA program an old 19th century goal-oriented, boring moonshot. So knowledge triumphs over space. That's the headline there. Knowledge exchange. That's pretty amazing. Because remember, the NASA shut down by 1973. Kind of stopped all of it. Under the guise that they had no more money.
Mm. It's simply education.
But there's still so much, there's still so much money going into it and so many funds and grants that are going into NASA.
Right, but that's going in for, what are they doing? It's like Alan Cabal says, what is the NASA security surveillance state doing for anybody? I mean, it is blatant that nobody's being protected. And trillions of dollars are going into that stuff, but it's the Android meme building its own structures, its own matrix. Like if the billion going into NASA, who's to say that that money isn't then being shuffled over to the Patriot Bill guys, Department of Homeland Security? Nobody knows where any money is being shifted to. Look at all this fucking gold they're sending to me. And they haven't fucking informed me about it.
Yeah,
he's setting me up. I'm a fucking Lee Harvey Oswald of the gold economy.
Are you going to store your gold in Texas's new gold repository?
No, I don't have any gold. I don't buy gold.
But you're
they're just sending it all. It's going to be in my garage or something.
You're going to have to buy a house for it.
Yeah, that's what JW. JW has 12 houses for kids' toys and all the stuff that he bought through the years.
He's a hoarder.
So he doesn't just live in Georgia.
No, he lives all over the place. And then, and that's the JW I know, so to speak. But then I'm interacting with different ones. So, you know, the 12 JWs have houses all over the place. Everywhere, all over the world. They just bought a new one today. Big one. Sent the pictures. He claims I'm fucking half owner. The fucking guy is fucking playing with my goddamn money. I have no say in anything. I got this beautiful big new house. I'm half owner. Yeah, we got tax issues. We got to fucking buy shit. You know, we got so much money coming in that he said, okay, you're half owner of this. And we were looking at the pictures earlier today. Very nice place.
Oh, is it near New York?
I'll never live there. I'll never drop in there.
Well, you have to.
Beg your pardon?
I said you have to. It's half yours.
That's right. I think I'll invite you down, Eliza, and give you a private client, private massage.
Is it near New York?
Look at her, she gets all giddy. Her biggest dream is to have a night with Bob.
No,
we know that.
I'm getting nervous. You're getting me in trouble by Connie.
Oh, Connie's fast asleep. I wouldn't be talking like this if she was around. She will hear this on the recording, though. It's in Georgia.
Oh.
Another
it's very nice, story? huge mansion.
Got a horse pasture.
Is anyone living in it now?
No, they just bought it. Just buying it. It's empty. And they're going to have to fill it up. And probably a few pieces of my gold will be deposited in my room. You'll know it's Bob's room because it's got bars of gold in it.
Everything will be made out of gold. Your bed, the drawers,
yeah.
The bureau.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds good.
But I think some of the implications of being eternal is like, what's the point of having things when you are eternal?
When you're what? What's the last word?
Eternal. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can.
Did you say journalist? The problems of being a journalist?
Eternal.
Oh, okay. That was a good line, though. You know, journalism has been in trouble for 40 years in an information society.
It's also very obsolete. I mean.
Yeah. But obsolescence means there's more of it. Remember that.
I know.
There's not much iondom going around yet. We're not obsolete. We're constitutive.
Yeah, Bob.
Yep, Ion has said the leading edge doesn't appeal to the masses.
Right. What'd you say, Jean?
When Eliza was reading that definition of human, they're saying that the human was the fallen man. Is that Roxy or Eliza?
Roxy.
Does
that mean we're all still here? And if there's one fallen man still left, are we all still here?
We're not here. We're nowhere.
And it's a very individual experience. Like when you get to a certain stage, you can go wherever you want, parallel world to 20 different worlds.
Yeah. That's true. You know, I don't think I finished the high-rise slum article. Let's just see that. High-rise slum. And then I went, oh, yeah, we have to continue. So the last sentence, the mini-artist, whether in pictures or in sounds, uses a basic module for resonant repetition to create social and personal involvement on a total scale. That sentence totally stumped Roxy. But maybe the rest of the article will help her out of her cul-de-sac. So it says, that is why there is an underlying recurrent pattern in all areas whatsoever, no matter how discrepant or seemingly remote from one another. Do you hear that? That is why there is an underlying recurrent pattern. Oh, I get a mute.
All participants are now muted.
That is why there is an underlying recurrent pattern in all areas whatsoever, no matter how discrepant or seemingly remote from one another. The miniskirt is a tribal resonant module as structurally repetitive as the high-rise building of the mini-planners. High-rise is based on the repetitive module of an electrically serviced environment. As much as the miniskirt goes with the repetitive module of the electric circus, the Beatles, and Jefferson Airplane. High-rise, with its vertical streets, its suburb in the sky, has much in common with the completely programmed environment of the space capsule. High-rise administration ultimately has to be like that of the mini-state, co-op government by total participation of all the residents. The attempt to administer high-rise bureaucratically is as futile as the attempt to educate the miniskirt generation bureaucratically. It is as futile as the attempt to govern church and state bureaucratically in the age of electric information. The high-rise form of a repeated module or a unit literally creates a new tribal compound that has the same psychic effects on the young resident as the purdah veil had on the Algerian women. The miniskirt is a tribal costume that marks the separation of the wearer from the old establishment. The old neighborhood spaces had been free and easy of access and interchange. The new instant slums of the high-rise are new tribal compounds with all the exclusiveness and lack of intercom. I'll read that. The new instant slums of the high-rise are new tribal compounds with all the exclusiveness and lack of intercom manifested by the hippie generation in general. He's saying the hippie generation can't dialogue very well. Then he has capital letters. The miniskirt is a kind of high-rise private costume. The high-rise is a kind of ghetto or corporate costume for a retribalizing world. The new satellite garb, G-A-R-B, the new satellite garb, very high-rise indeed, is worn by our planet. This probe reports that in all three of these diverse areas – the miniskirt, the high-rise, and the satellite. I'll read that again. This probe reports that in all three of these diverse areas, tribal role-playing and the violent quest for new identity is equally manifest. So you got lots of Marianne Williamsons doing their tribal role-playing and lots of punks beating up your grandmother. And neither will there be peace for any foreseeable future. Too much anxiety. Oh, man, I was expressing...
All participants are now unmuted.
Please repeat your laughter at my funny lines so I can hear them. Wasn't that funny?
I like
you
that
got...
concept. I love it. I like that concept of the high-rise being the corporate ghetto.
Yeah. The high-rise is an anti-social slum, and the ghetto is an over-social oppressive situation. You said that somewhere.
Over-social.
Yeah. You got isolation in the high-rise, and you got oppressive super-sociality in the ghetto.
And he
okay,
also mentioned something about your neighbors in a high rise, like about what he said. Not in the article you just read, but I think in the one before that. The elevators.
Yeah.
And
right.
The neighbors. Because they're like all around you. You really don't have breathing space in a building.
Right. Yeah, look at this. Is this what you mean? The anger and frustration born in the heart of the high-rise dweller seems to stem from the impossibility of significant involvement in this elegant environment. That's what you were thinking of, right?
Yeah, and he also specifically mentioned neighbors. And how people feel left out.
Yeah, the dweller, he calls him a dweller. The dweller feels left out, expendable, a classified item in a directory. He feels as if he were in the white pages rather than the yellow pages in the telephone book. The people in the yellow pages at least have some sort of identifiable role in society. They are listed in accordance with occupation or function. He says, it is characteristic that the planners in the pursuit of slum clearance should create instant slums on a scale never achieved by slums in the past. The instant slums would be the high-rise tribal slum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, here it is. The high-rise tribal slum is not necessarily bad in itself. Rather, its effects are felt as uncomfortable because they destroy all earlier values and goals and privacy. In point of fact, slums, while offering no privacy, can achieve a very high degree of neighborliness. Perhaps it is the difficulty of achieving neighborliness that renders the high-rise so bleak and blear.
So they achieve a very high what of neighborliness?
In point of fact, slums, while offering no privacy, can achieve a very high degree of neighborliness. Perhaps it is the difficulty of achieving neighborliness that renders the high-rise so bleak and blear. The difficulty of achieving neighborliness. You know, I don't know, I heard recently some black guy was talking about, I think it was Nina Simone documentary. You know, they, in a ghetto, they are... The kids can hang out at the other guy's place a lot. They all starve together. You know, apartment 4B's got food. Everybody tears down there to 4B. Rips off the slices of bread. This is the way Bert lived. Bert lived in this dire, black, dark, bleak American-African lifestyle. Right, Bert?
close, but not exactly.
Close.
Well, they feel in some cases they feel really close with one another, so they just relate to one another easily.
But yeah, because they all they're united by hardship.
Yeah. Mhm.
Remember, they used to say up in Harlem. I don't know what changed it. Maybe the drugs changed it, but Harlem used to survive because everybody was helping everybody. It was all involved with everybody, is what the old myth was. And I think drugs totally wrecked that. Again, and Bert's the expert on this stuff. Bert was a radical drug addict when he was 13. He and his friends on the basketball team. This is part of being quadriphenic. Yeah. What's his name? Lewis just said, I'm a monarchist, a fascist, a communist, and an anarchist, and also a heroin addict.
So, Bob, now finish the last part of that sentence, because I still haven't got the last part. McLuhan said that high-rises create a high degree of neighborliness, but it might...
No, slums create high degree of neighborliness. Slums offer no privacy and can achieve a very high degree of neighborliness. Perhaps it is the difficulty of achieving neighborliness that renders the high-rise so bleak and blear.
Oh.
So because of them being so neighborly with one another, they've put themselves in a bleak and blear state?
No, there's no neighborliness in a high rise. That's bleak and blear. In a slum there is.
It's difficult to achieve in the high rise.
But the high rise becomes a tribal slum.
Well, and in the high rise, like the reference to the white pages versus being in the white pages versus the yellow pages, in that environment of a high rise, everybody's advertising themselves in a way that...
No, they're not. You are just a classified item in a directory, but it's the white pages directory. You're just in a name and a digit and a social security number. You don't have any... You move to the suburbs to become yellow pages, so you have a nice big house. Then you look like you've got somewhere. You're anonymous in the high rise. You're in the module, the repeatable module. So let me go on to another article before Bert. You have to go soon, right, Bert? Unless you've changed your life.
Just about, Bob.
Okay. This is about you, Bert. It's called Negroes, Students, and Schools. Yes, what?
When you're done with the article, then do you go over your section of notes? When do we get to do your notes?
We'll do that when we finish this. The notes just repeat the stuff. Let's just figure out mute.
All participants are now muted.
Don't worry about it. We'll get to it. Maybe we'll go over last issue's notes last week. Negroes, students, and schools. The anger of all mini-groups, whether they be the poor, the young, or racial minorities, is today born of the attempt to deal with their experience by means of programs of bureaucratic and blueprinted pattern. A book like, and then here's the title, The Second Civil War, Arming for Armageddon by Gary Wills, Signet Books, June 1968, describes the bureaucratic efforts of American city governments to impose patterns of order on a world reverberating with electronic resonance. For example, Mr. Wills writes on page 77, quote, nothing is so exciting or gathers the crowd so fast as a burning police car, unquote. This statement is a capsule of the entire dilemma presented when the bureaucratic and traditionally specialized legal structure is interfaced with the new tribal resonance of our age of discontinuity and instantaneous information movement. Then in big capital letters, how is it possible to alert people today to structural changes of such scope? In smaller print, it is a matter of conflict between totally different structures and not a matter of the conflict between separate points of view at all. Points of view in quotes. So it is a matter of conflict between totally different structures and not a matter of the conflict between separate points of view at all. Instantaneous information from multiple centers yields simultaneously multiple points of view in quotes. So instantaneous information from multiple centers yields simultaneously multiple points of view. No single objectivity or viewpoint can long withstand this sort of pressure. The new tribal resonating structures of the mini-skirters, the mini-planners, and the mini-state are totally decentralist. They are closed systems, unlike the older civilized and bureaucratic structures made by literate men in the pre-electric centuries. How is it possible to convey to such groups as the Ocean Hill Brownsville that the inherent clash between literate bureaucratic unions and the decentralist demands of ethnic minorities is the mandate of the latest electric technology? Gary Wills gives a long account of the preparations now afoot to institute a genocide war between whites and blacks. He shows not the slightest concern with the causes behind such drastic preparations. Like the press in general, sensational effects erase all awareness of causes creating fuel for the fire. Read that again. Like the press in general, sensational effects erase all awareness of causes creating fuel for the fire. The economic and emotional climates, as it were, of most parts of the world are now being readjusted by the inevitable interface of long quiescent entities. Color TV turns on black power and negritude and dims the white image into insignificance. These are technological causes that have wide-ranging psychic and social effects for which people are totally unprepared. One party will fight to consolidate its new image, and other parties will fight to recover or retain their old image of identity. This is the theme of War and Peace in the Global Village. If everyone in the world were satisfied that color TV by its magical iconoscope is as much the cause of genocidal strife to come, even as a virus, though invisible, is the cause of a specific misery, would any effective steps be taken to mend the situation? To read that again. If everyone in the world were satisfied that color TV by its magical iconoscope is as much the cause of genocidal strife to come, even as a virus, though invisible, is the cause of a specific misery. If everybody knew that color TV would cause a specific misery, would any effective steps be taken to mend the situation? End of topic. We throw the mic open.
All participants are now unmuted.
Oh, that's a good question. I wonder what the masses would say.
Well, obviously nothing was done. Well, you got different groups. Right. You have different Secret Service groups and intelligence armies grabbing the chains of power for probably just to make money. So nobody in that chaos of people killing off presidents and replacing them with doubles and such, nobody's going to stop and take the outer world, outer kingdom, seriously and attempt to correct the effects of color TV. That's why McLuhan prayed every day.
He prayed for what?
For you and your kids to have a world.
We've all been arguing about our points of view ever since.
Right. And you blew it, as Mrs. Merkel found out this week. You did not do anything about it. You fucked up. And now it's Bob, who started it, has to come back in and reveal himself and fix it up. I enjoyed those millennia of anonymity. But now I must clean up your fucking mess because you didn't understand what I was talking about. You didn't understand the law, the commandments. You didn't understand the Ten Commandments. You didn't understand the Emerald Tablets. You didn't understand the Bible. You didn't understand the Buddha.
Of everybody else, you have no point of
view.
Yeah,
all you point of view people. You're just a blank space.
Yeah, we're just a blank space.
Yeah. Remember the punks called themselves. There was a band or something. They were called the Blank Generation. You remember that?
The Blank?
No.
Yeah.
By non-psychology, they used the blank slate a lot.
You mean Malcolm Cogswell or that New Yorker guy? That Blink?
No, Blink 92, you mean? Blink 82? The band?
No, you know that Malcolm Gladwell, he wrote something about blinking, didn't he? Okay,
no,
here it is. Yeah, you knew what?
Go ahead.
The Blank Generation is a debut studio album by American punk band Richard Hell and the Voidoids. It was produced by Richard Gutterer and released in September 77 on Sire Records. So it was the name of an album. What's the difference between a generation and an album title? Not much. You're equally expendable. Yeah, Beefheart wrote a song, Best Batch Yet, both the new kids on the block.
There's a documentary that includes performances by Patti Smith, Blondie, Television, The Ramones, The Talking Heads.
On what? On that album, Blank Generation?
The Blank Generation. Yeah, there's a documentary with that title.
With that title, ah. Well, Bert, are you satisfied, Bert? Are you full?
Just about, but I have two questions, Bob. Earlier, before Ion left, you asked him about if the dodecahedron was a bridge.
Yeah.
McLuhan's reference to the interval makes me think, or the resident interval makes me think of it as a bridge. Could that be a correct interpretation?
Yes. Yeah, he makes a lot of the word bridge. He says, I think he says the word metaphor means bridge, to travel across. Mm-hmm. So a metaphor is a bridge. Bridge are gaps. Metaphors are A is to B, is C is to D. And the dodecahedron is the visualization of that action. I remember he considers himself the bridge between physical and non-physical, or something like that, or between the old hell and the new heaven. I am definitely a bridge like the dodecahedron, and calls himself such. You see how this McLuhan stuff is great relevance to the ideas of Ion.
Yes.
Or the images.
Yes. And the next one, when McLuhan was talking about the bureaucratic, something about, I think, I don't remember the words, but it was like something regarding integration about the electronic environment and the bureaucrats and minorities.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The black kids are just arriving at visual culture, just getting education after the civil rights, and they are pissed off once they get their literate jobs. There's no jobs for them because the electric world has created a different kind of role-playing society. So the blacks got their civil rights and their education to literacy a little too late. So McLuhan used to say that Louis Armstrong and jazz in the 20s, 30s united the world, with the radio environment, but the subculture, the tiny culture of literacy, tried to reintegrate the blacks back into visual culture, and then left them high and dry when the literate people realized, nah, this ain't going to work, and they went totally gung-ho in the electric world.
Wow.
It was like a whole new expression that got reined back.
Right. Where's Ocean Hill, Brownsville? That's probably New York City, some black area or something, or a clash between Jews and blacks. But what he said here...
Bob, can you find literate bureaucratic unions? Read that sentence.
Yeah, the new tribal resonating structures of the mini-skirters, the mini-planners, and the mini-state are totally decentralist. They are closed systems, unlike the older civilized and bureaucratic structures made by literate men in the pre-electric centuries. Here's another one. How is it possible to convey to such groups as Ocean Hill-Brownsville that the inherent clash between literate bureaucratic unions and the decentralist demands of ethnic minorities is the mandate of the latest electric technology. Did you get that?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what you were talking about? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, how about this? McLuhan said there would be a genocidal war, but that the blacks would be wiped out. And I didn't know Gary Wills did. He's a famous writer. Gary Wills gives a long account of the preparations now afoot to institute a genocide war between whites and blacks. Now, maybe that's McLuhan's interpretation of what the preparations mean. Wills shows not the slightest concern with the causes behind such drastic preparations. Like the press in general, sensational effects erase all awareness of causes, creating fuel for the fire. So, you know what you had, Bert? It was a slow erosion of the blacks by putting them in the prisons for drug deals. The imprisonment of the black population was a kind of polite genocide.
Oh, the Ocean Hill,
yes.
Brownsville. There was a racial. There were racial tensions between the blacks and Jews in 1968, and it's in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. So it says Negro students at schools. Negroes would be Bert, students would be Roxy, and schools would be Bob. Negro students schools. Bert, Roxy, and Bob. This is what the mind does when it's obsolete. Makes little patterns of the silliest shit.
That's the scolia.
Yeah, leisure. Scolia means
the,
leisure.
The comments. The greatest McLuhan scholar makes his comments.
Yes. The greatest McLuhan scholar is a leisure freak. He's wearing a leisure suit, making everybody else do all the work.
You're the biggest ad man on the planet.
Odd man?
Mad man.
Ad man. Mad man. That TV show.
Mad man.
What? Are you still correcting yourself?
No, I repeated mad man. Mad man.
Batman.
Yes. I am Ant-Man, as we learned today from Ion.
Yeah.
So now these articles, that's just the first page or so. A lot of articles in this issue. In the last issue, there was less content, and he repeated it by just replaying the same content in different shape columns. But this is being presented like a newspaper. And it has a square, a blank square, blank space, and underneath it says Chicago. And then in the headlines, it says Chicago, colon, blank space. See, the first headlines were teachers strike. Look at that. The teachers strike. Schools close. Apollo 8 triumphs, but then he says knowledge triumphs over space. Negro students battle police. Then later on, there's another page of headlines. Vertical suburbs or high-rise slums. Imagine that as a headline, a newspaper.
Wow.
Chicago, blank space. Private parts in public? Court upholds right to undrape. As nudity becomes tribally environmental with the miniskirt, photographic viewpoint nudity loses its appeal and its power. Wow. Isn't that awesome? It's fun having these things that nobody else has. My toys are totally exclusive. My toys are articles. Old newspaper
Thank you.
Articles. Old.
Thank you for letting
Thank
us
you.
Play with your toys.
Yes, yes.
And they're all in one house.
Bob's Mobile Seminar. Look, let's read the ad for the Dewline newsletter. It says, after you read all the news, and all the news is in quotes, read Dewline for a distant early warning. Foresight, analysis, and insight into where the world, its people, and cultures are going now. Newspapers, magazine, radio, and television show you only part of the world and its workings. The Dew Line traces and predicts the vast undercurrents of change. It is written for the man or woman of responsibility who cannot afford to be wrong in his evaluation of the present or his prediction of the future. It is designed to reveal and analyze now the structural relationship between the transforming forces you must deal with as tomorrow's world grows around us. You read, quote, sudden insights that can light up a confused landscape and show the odd order underlying seeming chaos. That was written by Richard Schickel of Harper's Magazine, and he goes on to say of Marshall McLuhan, quote, his theories are big enough and bold enough to mobilize the revolution he is examining. His most casual thoughts are full of the excitement of discovery, unquote. Well, shortly after that, Mr. Schickel does a hit job on McLuhan. He turns on McLuhan. Many of these people who like McLuhan at the beginning, as critics snap, suddenly decided, no, he's a con man, probably because they started to realize the real implications of what McLuhan was saying, and it threatened their own identity. So it says, send a coupon for a year of the McLuhan Dew Line, a radar fix on a runaway world, a priceless aid in guiding you toward profitable action. Then it says, future Dew Lines will discuss how to read a newspaper, why the message is being dropped in favor of the effect. Get that? The message is being dropped in favor of the effect. The significant potential, look at movies in the late 70s. The significant potential of systems breakdowns as breakthroughs. The disappearance not just of writing, but also of speech. Why the pattern of human evolution is shifting from the area of biology to that of man-made environments. That means becoming a chip landscape. And what this means to our future. Service environments as ending the consumer age. Disappearance of the pyramid organization chart. The executive is the man of extinction, in brackets, the man of extinction, in quote marks. Disappearance of the pyramid organization chart, you'll see that in the LaRouche quadrant of my tiny note chart, the phrase organization chart. The executive is the man of extinction. See, people are gone. Why those who create global service environments must now turn from hardware to world education for survival. Sensory training and retraining kits and many more of the hidden issues of our time. What do you think? Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I think it sounds like the description of payday, Bob.
Oh, yes. Miss Roxy has pointed that out many times. Wyndham Lewis. Did you hear? You probably missed. We played Wyndham Lewis' Enemy of the Stars, which was the original payday.
Ah, okay. So the Dew Line description, payday is the new version of the Dew Line.
It began with Wyndham Lewis 100 years ago. His play, The Enemy of the Stars, never got performed till last summer. It took 100 years to get performed because people thought it was unperformable.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some of the statements Roxy posted on our Facebook pages describing payday. Is the Dew Line newsletter payday? I guess.
Well, it sounds like everything you just read is what we do. I mean, what gets done on payday. And I guess my only thing is it's like God. I mean, it just keeps going on incessantly. But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe there is no culmination. I mean, that was written however many years ago, and now here we are in 2015 doing the same exact thing with updated technology. So maybe this is just... You know, how now shall we
No,
live?
I explained that. Someone observed that 3 or 4 hours ago. Now, here's the answer.
Okay.
There's no change over the last 120, 30 years electrically. The electric environment has several broad principles, like decentralist and increasing centralization. We won't be different until we change or get out of the electronic effect. So the electric environment has the same effect for 150 years on the generations. So it's repeating itself until it can get out of the electronic paralysis. And
so is not ion the antidote to the electronic paralysis? I mean, I thought ion was
of
the way
course.
Out.
Of course. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We've been celebrating me for the last 3 hours, Ginny. We celebrated my marvelous victory.
Okay. And so... ion is the way out of the electric environment, and then how many generations does that take? Or is it an instantaneous, it takes hold?
Well, actually, he explained that it's not the way out of the electronic environment. The electricity is still going to be there, but it's going to be produced with Coldplay.
With great abundance.
Electric,
so the electric environment becomes the content of cold fusion, Coldplay, and endless infinite amounts of electricity will be pumped out, so it'll be free.
Okay.
It'll be the figure. Cold iron dome will be the ground, whereas before electricity is the ground and mechanical analog media is the figure.
Okay.
But already, like the effects of the invisible forces generated by the Coldplay, it's like Ion said, that everything is changing, only magnesium is stable. But
okay, what did you say? Everything is changing, and what's stable?
Magnesium.
Right. It's interesting. You apply this figure ground thing back in the McLuhan day, and it's useful. You can use it in relation to iron dome.
Yes, and in that way, as Jeannie says, payday is like the due line because you're explaining these changes of the invisible
right.
forces and the environment.
I realized Jilly meant the ad is like payday. The ad is describing payday. Right, Jeannie? That's what you meant.
The ad for the due line. The ad for the due line that you just read was describing payday. It was
swapped out a
few different words because everything that you just read in the ad happens every week on payday, and it's the language that you constantly use to say what's happening. Like you said last night, there's no hierarchy. Everybody's here. Everybody's on their own. You know, the arc is arriving, you know, all these other kinds of things, constantly swapping out the pattern, constantly translating everything. That's what happens on payday on Saturday night.
Right. I thought you meant the content, the different topics. But, yeah, the role of the due line we have taken over.
Yes, very good.
Sensory training and retraining kits.
Yes, that's right. Training and retraining. Yep. Okay.
And, you know, the company that made this due line, Eugene Schwartz formed the company. He called it Human Development Corporation.
Oh, very good. That's a very good, instead of international machines, it was human development. That's
right.
Very good.
Yeah. Romantic visions of improvement didn't go anywhere. It died. Died in the lab.
And
it was another tragedy.
The reason that it died in the lab was, what do you ascribe to that, its failure?
Well, the world had changed so much from 68 to 70. People had whole new different moods and interests. They weren't interested in listening to some egghead explain the world. It's the beginning of the Armageddon, the apocalypse. People were into surviving on their own, not listening. And it became called the Me Decade by the same guy who made McLuhan famous, Tom Wolfe. He called the 70s the Me Decade.
So is that where we are now? Everybody's somewhat interested in surviving on their own? Is this a replay of that? Is that kind of what it feels like?
No, right. What's happening now is everything's happening, all directions. You've got people trying to form communities, new basis for community. You got other people saying, fuck you. I just read, saw this very wealthy woman in New York City got divorced, and then she started having parties in her Park Avenue place, and the help... because they're being accused of stealing something from her, they've all ganged up on her and are telling everybody about what went on in there. And there was constant orgies, and this heiress constantly just shit in her bed, didn't even bother leaving her bed, just laid there taking drugs and blowjobs or whatever, and parties, people wandering in and out, and drug dealers. there's a person who's lost their identity quite extremely. Hey, what do you think of that image?
Very attractive, Bob.
We'll probably find out she was on RNA drops, and they didn't work. She detoxified. She was gulping down whole gallons of RNA drops because she could afford it, and her being blew up. She relaxed and allowed so much she didn't even bother going to the bathroom.
That, Bob. That's great. That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, look through your files. There's probably a person who ordered huge quantities of RNA drops you've for long forgotten. Or maybe Matthew dealt with it before you took over.
I think we should start that rumor, even if it's not true, because rumors are really fun.
Right.
And, that sounds cool.
Well, we've had an exciting evening, Ginny. Much was learned, much pattern recognition. Sorry you'll have to listen to the replay.
No, I was there for the whole thing, Bob. Remember? I was up till 2.
Well, have you been here the last 5 hours? No.
No. I was there for when Ion was there.
Well, we're talking about what happened after Ion. There's a big faction of get a lot more out of me than Ion.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay, I'll listen afterwards. I'll listen to the replay.
Yes. Right? We cover a lot of ground.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you think? That's enough for the do line, right? We've done it.
Okay.
So we could... We could end by going over the notes for last week's do line, which we didn't do. Everybody still here?
Yes.
Bert's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Roxy's here. Eliza. And is Jean still here?
Yes.
Okay, that's a quorum. Okay, now to find the... Damn, I'm going to have to do some clicking and go over to Ian and Bob and bring up the greatest McLuhan scholar. Oh, no. There it is, right behind this. Okay, I got it. Okay. All right, so we're looking at the notes. Bring up the, on your computers, bring up the notes for December 68, which is at the beginning of right under the statement of the greatest McLuhan scholar. Are you guys looking it up? Should we bother?
Yes, I have it up.
Okay, so it says outer equals jets and satellite. I remember we had that idea. Inner equals radio. Students, it's above radio. Students can't verbalize causes of their unrest. The planet is becoming a campus, going over towards the right. An archaeological museum. University libraries are obsolete. McLuhan predicts the internet. Something on DNA. Glenn Gould. Arthur Hirst and his optometry. The dyslexia, I think it was. Or the kids read too close to the page. Yeah, face flat on book. I have that written there. People can't change. Echoland. He predicts apocalypse, a replay of Blast, Windham Lewis's Blast. No demurring to McLuhan's hypothesis. Remember, he'd go to conferences and tell them he's the message, and nobody disagreed? That disturbed McLuhan. Mm-hmm. Marx lived in the 18th century, idealizing the noble savage. The 20th century equals tribal primitive communism. The 20s skit was
sexy.
Not that skit.
Skirt.
The 20s skirt was Yeah, it was sexy. Basically, yeah, he says the miniskirt's not sexy, but the 20 skirt was. And I don't have it written down, but he talked about the black bottom in the 20s and the white bottom via Woodstock in the 60s. Then he says anti-lawyers, anti-visual space, and Luca Bizzi. I don't remember that being why that's there, Luca Bizzi. But then on the far left, it says hippies as lack of intercom. Now, oh, that's, we did that today. That's part of today's January 69. But the mute hippie. McClellan used to call the hippie, he said, hi-bye. Hi-bye, rather quickly. Hippies as lack of intercom. We are the TV screen. So, anyway, so we went over the notes. Does that help us any? Did we learn anything?
Bob, right below TV screen, we are the TV screen. It says TV looks at us or tattoos us.
Yeah. It looks at us and tattoos us, does both. TV looks out and tattoos us. I think it's looks out, but looks at. As Ion says, TV looks at you. Your computer looks at you nowadays, your iPhone.
Yep.
Remember when they found that software embedded in every phone that tracked where you were? And most people didn't know it was there. They didn't know that the software allowed somebody to see where you were. Is there anything we want to say about the notes, Roxy? Or is that too rapid going over them?
Well, I'm always happy when you comment more on each
thing,
note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, outer extensions are the jet and the satellite. The inner extensions, radio and TV. That's interesting to, I mean, even though the electric environment has no, it blurs the outer and inner, hardware does make the jets and the satellites seem more outer than radio. You travel by radio, but it's in more inner than the traveling by jet.
Did you guys discuss McLuhan's idea that Marx lived in the 18th century and couldn't update himself?
Yeah, there was a lot last week. There was a lot last week. If you haven't heard it, it's about hard and soft communism. And there was a lot more detail about Marx. You didn't hear last week's?
Bits of it. I had company, but it was on. And you're reminding me of the little bits that I heard.
Right.
I guess
university libraries are obsolete. The planet becomes a campus.
I was curious about what you and Roxy thought of that, particularly with his comments about Marx.
I missed who? Braxis?
No, Marx. Karl Marx.
That McLuhan.
Okay, what about him?
That Marx lived in the 18th century and that he was idealizing the noble savage, like your notes say.
Yeah.
I got the impression McLuhan was saying that Marx.
Well, Marx was the 19th century.
Right.
Yeah,
but he lived in the 18th century, metaphorically in his image. He lived because the hardware services started in 1830, around the time he was born, or just after. So you had hardware communism in the 19th century, and he romanticized an ideal utopian hardware communism. So he mentally lived in the 18th century when you had the idea of the noble savage. He was just retrieving, you know, primitive, preliterate native life. As it says, the 20th century retrieved tribal primitive communism through software. So what was your question about Marx, Jean?
I got the impression that McLuhan was saying that Marx wasn't updating himself enough to be relevant in his writing.
That's true.
Well, he didn't show that the strict environment was going to make the world tribal again, collective.
He also didn't know how the software would take over the economy and give a different kind of work. People get paid to talk on the telephone in talk shows. So that began with the telegraph. Marx missed the telecommunications bus, McLuhan would say.
And Bob, if you didn't have ION, and how was a person like Marx actually supposed to apprehend these future kind of events? What were they supposed to be plugged into? Were they supposed to be using psychics, or how are they supposed to be knowing this?
Well, Marx didn't see the future. He
I know that's
in the
what
review mirror.
No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. But let's say that he wanted to see the future. Let's say he wanted his stuff to be relevant. I understand who he was and what he was doing. I'm asking, how would he have done it at that span of timing in his world, the way things were at that time? What would he have gotten access to?
Nothing. You mean you're asking what would have helped him see the future?
Yes.
I don't think there was anything, unless he became a Nostradamus and somehow developed his inner divinities and saw what was coming, like Nostradamus did. I mean, an individual can ascend.
Okay. So he couldn't have done that. Well, given his political bent, he probably wouldn't have done that. So developing your own spiritual gifts or your own divinity from within, like Nostradamus, and then using that to navigate was the only option at that point in time.
Yep. Okay. Isn't it usually the only option? We are witnessing the extension of the only option, going back to source energy, as an environment. That's new. That's ION.
Yes.
It's come forth.
I think one of his main limitations was that he was an atheist. He will not, I mean, he reduced the human to productive medium.
Right.
he didn't so more
an
atheist?
Than
atheist.
He
didn't believe in God. Atheist.
Oh, atheist. Atheist. Yes, he was an atheist. Right.
So,
we pronounce it atheist.
Very well.
That's what I was saying. So given his political bend, because he didn't have any spiritual inclination, he would not have thought any kind of God or divine or force or source or any kind of external intellect. He would have felt himself to be the intellectual, which he did. And my dad was a Marxist, so I'm kind of familiar with that. But anyway, so I'm just saying, if prior to, you know, in that span of timing, what were people's options? Plus, he was limited by the whole printing press world. So, all right, very good.
Yeah, that's why life was short and British and brutal in that period.
Yes, he only did
the dark ages of the book, Dark Ages of the Goomba Galaxy.
He only did the metanoia of the ways of producing capital, but he had a very limited view of what human is. Even as a fallen man, human have many other aspects to themselves. So
yeah,
what he saw as a solution, that's why I say the only solution is to take your power back, because all systems that are going to be developed are not going to solve anything. They're just going to, for example, communism ended with centralization and bureaucracy and in a dictature, it was not helping the people.
Yeah, both Joyce and McLuhan were mystics. That helped them see the etherealization of the electric world. They notice the electric, ethereal.
Yes, and reducing everything to the material. I mean, it's really
hardware.
Yeah, to hardware
scale. You know, the role of the worker.
It's really, really limiting. I mean, it's
all here now. You know, it's like bits and pieces. These fallen men had an idea, like you were saying earlier, Bob, at 19, McLuhan grabbed on to this idea that was unique and kept going with it. Marx did the same in his venue. And now it's all here for us to put together however we want to, in a way.
Yeah, there's a...
And,
there's a...
Speaking about this communism, Ion always said, even if they share everything equally between among all men, because of the power or something, things end up being the same at the end.
Yeah.
I think what you're talking about, Roxy, is when Ion says if you take all the wealth and you gather it and distribute it equally within a very short period of time, it would find itself back to the distribution it's in now. And Ion said that to me in one of my sessions in relationship to talking about the plight of the poor. That's why Ion said you would always have the poor with you, because it's a self-image. It's an identity. And the identity factors would attract it right back to where it was.
Yes, and
like
even
people
if...
people who win the lottery, you know, poor people traditionally play the lottery hoping to get rich quick, and then when they do, they're overwhelmed and overtaken by their earnings because they don't have an identity of a wealthy person and they don't know how to handle it.
Yes, so these systems are no solution.
Croker tries to retrieve Marx. He says people are reconsidering the services of some of Marx's writings. I'm not sure what that is.
In Europe, there's a lot of people retrieving Marx.
Yeah.
But when you have another understanding of how things work, it's clear that that's not the solution.
Yeah, Iandom is retrieving the second coming.
The second coitus.
Yes. The 1967 second coming. When Rai returned to essence, we're retrieving it. I said that stuff back in the 80s. Nobody knew what I was talking about, but now everybody's got Rai on their lips. All over the world. Rai, return to the plane of essence on January 21st, 1967. Most people. Well, you got a huge audience, Cal. Well, luckily, they don't tell us. They're so polite. They're so ascended, they don't tell us that they're listening, so we don't feel pressured.
Private parts in public.
Yeah, Coast Court upholds right to undrape. See that? As nudity becomes tribally environmental with the miniskirt, photographic viewpoint nudity loses its appeal and its power.
That looks like me.
No, that looks like, it doesn't look like you.
In my short hair.
No way. It did not look like... No, it looks like Janet Ferguson or Margaret Swain's older sister, you know, someone like that. I can retrieve names that Carolyn can't retrieve. Well, it was wonderful doing the do line. We probably get about one-third through it.